right, it's the Bon Appetit Foodcast. I'm Adam Rappaport. On today's show, NBA veteran shooting guard J.J. Redick, who also happens to be the host of the Vertical podcast and who also happens to know a lot about food. I feel like I got totally schooled on this podcast. Like, there was so much stuff I didn't know, like that there's a guy whose job it is just to get the Chick-fil-A for the team when they get on the plane every time. And like, who has the best room service breakfast in America, or that beets apparently are really good for your blood flow. And that's why JJ eats a lot of beets on game day. So yeah, we had a fun talk about everything from sort of life on the road in the NBA to staying fit to eating well. And he just moved to Brooklyn. So JJ Redick, Bon Appetit Foodcast. Let's do this. JJ, where'd you have dinner last night?
A JetBlue Mint.
The fancy JetBlue.
Yeah. So technically, it was a menu inspired by Saxon and Parole.
Oh, from New York City.
Yeah. Brad Farmery.
What was on the menu?
Moroccan lamb with couscous. I'm telling you, man. It's no, like I believe it. Stuff. There was like a Mexican chicken stew, and you get to pick three items. And my third item was like a lentil salad with avocado.
Wow, it's like small plates.
Yeah, little small plates. And then they give you, at the very end of the flight, they give you a milk cookie from like Milk Bar here in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's high-end stuff,
My kid is obsessed with JetBlue Mint, even though he's never flown on it, but he likes the name JetBlue Mint. Yeah, I need to get on that. All right. So I'm gonna nerd out with you on you a bit about NBA food stuff and whatnot. So flying. All right. What about when you're flying with the team?
Mm-hmm.
Did the Clippers have their own jet? Do you guys try? How does that work?
So some teams have their own jet.
Yeah.
But it the vast majority of teams charter with an airline. Okay. And the majority of those teams that charter use Delta. So they've kind of retrofitted. I think it's a 757.
Yeah.
I don't know my Boeings, but yeah. They basically...
But it's not an Airbus.
It's not an Airbus. I know that. The front of the plane is like the sort of the player's cabin. And then there's like a little bit of a separation. They have like a coach's cabin with tables so they can all watch film.
Oh, wow.
And then the back of the plane would be like your normal... Your normal jet on a commercial flight, first class. So taking a United flight from Houston to Chicago.
Yeah.
What does first class look like? So the rest of the plane is sort of that. That's our staff. That's our media PR people, anybody that, you know, is a trainer or anything like that.
Now, how often is like the player's cabin part? Is that like stay out coaches? You guys,
this is our turf right now?
We've got
an old coach with the Clippers. An older gentleman, I should say, named Armon Hill. He's like the only one that's allowed up in the players' cabin. So when guys are playing cards, sometimes he comes and watches. But like the players' cabin can get kind of rowdy. Generally speaking, there's like a DJ pretty much every flight.
Wait, what?
And
What do you mean? There's a DJ?
Guys bring those like, you know, the huge monster. I think it's monster.
You're doing
the
a big
huge,
circular
like, Bluetooth speakers, and it's just blasting, you know, whatever music is in.
How is it decided who gets a DJ? Is there like a rotation?
Generally speaking, yeah, there is. This year, Alan Anderson, he just decided he's going to play the music every flight in every locker room. He just completely took control of that.
Does anyone ever object? Or are they like, oh, no, he's good. He's got this.
I mean, the type of music I want to listen to is like if he's playing Jay-Z, mm-hmm, or Nas,
yeah,
Tupac, like I'm good with that. It's when like, you know, like Migos and even Drake come on, like just that new millennial stuff.
It's just
not for me. So I don't think most guys don't object. I mean, on an NBA team, you've got a pretty huge gap between like the youngest players and the oldest players. I mean, there might be a 19-year-old and a 36-year-old.
So Pierce was on your team, Paul Pierce, this year. And I'm assuming he was the oldest guy on the team?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's like 38 or 39. Jamal Crawford's 37.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm 32. I've got a wife and kids. So it's you're never going to agree on one type of music.
Yes.
So you just... Jay-Z's a safe choice.
As long as it's not country music, probably.
Exactly.
So you're playing, is there a particular card games that get played the most? This has nothing to do with food. We'll get back to food. Yeah. Don't worry about
this. So the NBA game of choice is Blu-ray. Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of Blu-ray.
No, Bourre. So it's B-O-U-R-R-E with a little apostrophe. I believe it was originally played, I think it's, I don't quote me on this, but I think it was originally played down in Louisiana. So that's why it's spelled
Sounds
that
like
way.
Sounds like Bourre, yes.
But the easiest way to describe the game, if you took the five-card poker game that we all played growing up where you got five cards and you could, you know, ask for
couple,
more.
Yeah.
Throw out a couple, ask for more. If you could play five-card poker with spades, that is essentially Bourre.
Are you good at it?
I'm good. Yeah. I didn't play every flight. I played at the beginning of the year. I won a lot of money. I'm not gonna lie. I won a lot of money. And then I quit the game after one particular flight because there were some things happening that I just, I couldn't condone it. And,
what could be happening?
Well, like I noticed guys were butting up with each other.
Oh,
right. So just when you say you don't want to get booed, you know,
okay,
that's the point of the name of the game, Bourre. So getting booed means you stayed in the game, you stayed in the hand, and you did not collect a book. So in spades, where if you're playing spades and you have the highest of a suited card, or if trumps get played, you have the highest trump, you win the book. Well, if you stay in the game and you don't get a book, you have to match the pot. So what was happening was I noticed a couple guys were allowing the other guy next to them to sort of get a book. They would, I'm not going to play my best card here. Meanwhile, because I'm winning, because I had won a lot of money, thus that to that point in the season, they're like coming after me.
You guys are supposed to be teammates, man. No. You're not supposed to be.
No, it's supposed to be cutthroat when we're playing cards. I don't want guys helping, like teaming up against certain guys. I couldn't stand for it.
Do you think Kelly Oubre is good at Bourre? That was a basketball joke, listener. Sorry. Go Wizards. Okay. Is there like a cop on the plane? I'm assuming you can drink on the plane.
I mean,
I've
been on every team I've been on is a little bit different. Like people drink on the plane, but it's not. Generally speaking, it's like after a game, end of a road trip, or you're playing on a Wednesday and you leave after the game and you don't play again till Saturday. It's not like you're drinking. You're not on the plane the night before a game or a back to back drinking, but. Occasionally there's wine and beer, but it's not like serve. You have to bring it on yourself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait,
now, every team is different, but every team is different. I've been on teams where like there is a little bit of wine on the plane, but you got to bring it on yourself.
I feel like I'm learning so much on this podcast. When you say bring it on, you mean literally BYO?
Yeah, so like whenever we play in Oklahoma City, if we don't have like like a game the next night and we're leaving OKC, I'm friends with one of the ball boys, and there's a couple really good craft breweries in OKC, so I'll say, go get me something local, IPA or whatever. So either, I don't know when he goes, but at some point, halftime or third quarter, he goes and he picks the beer up. And when I get on the bus, it's sitting in my seat. So I got a little six pack
So you're not drinking the little like airplane bottles of Johnny Walker.
I'm not going to name names, but certain guys do that.
Okay. All right. So you can bring on some fine craft beer because you're a connoisseur. What about food? Do you bring food on the plane or is there always a meal served on the plane?
Yeah. So it wasn't always this way. Uh-huh. 10 years ago, teams were not paying that much attention to nutrition.
Back in
after
the day.
Games. Yeah, a game would end, there might be like Domino's pizza. Nothing is Domino's, but Domino's pizza in the locker room, and that's what you had. And then you'd get to the next city at 1 or 2 in the morning, and you'd have to convince room service to let you get a burger or something to eat. Now, I mean, it's not like 4-star meals, but it's really good stuff. Generally speaking, we get Whole Foods to cater.
On the plane,
oh, right. Cool. And then if we're in like a good city, like sometimes like we'll get like beignets from Café du Monde, like one of the players would do that.
Not so healthy.
Yeah, not so healthy. But I mean like, I remember being in Orlando, anytime we'd go play in California, like someone would inevitably always have like In-N-Out for us after the games. It'd be like 50 burgers on the bus when you get after the game. Yeah.
God bless America. So let's talk about it. I want to get back to the healthy stuff, but I don't want to rush. So when you're in town and you don't have to get on the plane, so say Clips are in town playing the Knicks, do you immediately leave after that game and you're here the night before? Or, like, how does that work? Are you always leaving as soon as the game ends and getting to the next city?
When you're on the road, let's say you're on a 5-game road trip and let's say you play every other day.
Yeah.
Then you would leave right after the game in almost every case. Back-to-backs, you leave right after the game. There's like, you know, I've been on a lot of teams where, and the Clippers were like this, like if you're playing Wednesday in Miami and you're not playing again until Saturday in Memphis, like where do you want to spend a couple days?
I would say Miami.
Miami. So you stay a couple extra nights in Miami. Home games, now if we're in L.A., the only way we'd ever leave right after the game is if we had, it's called a flyout game. So you have a Thursday night game on TNT. And then you have a Friday game on ESPN in Portland.
So you'd
leave, yeah, you'd leave right after the game.
All right, let's say you're in Miami. Let's say you're in New York. You've got a couple of days to your next game. How does going out after that game work? Like who, where are you deciding to go? Who are you going with on the team, you know?
Yeah. Depends on where I am.
Let's say Miami to start off with.
Miami.
You just beat the Heat, like, yeah, I mean, like 104 to 97.
So a lot of the guys would go to Prime 112. You know, that's
famous,
like,
steakhouse, yeah, on the strip right there.
That's kind of the spot to go to if you're an NBA player in Miami. So like this year after the game, I went, one of my buddies that I played with at Duke, I went to his apartment afterwards.
Who was that?
Josh McRoberts.
Okay.
We played Miami. We stayed after the game. I went to his apartment afterwards for like an hour, caught up with him a little bit, and then went and met like five of my teammates at Prime 112, and they went out after the game.
But you're typically going to go eat before you go out for the younger guys who are going to go out also?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. You're not going to like roll into the club.
Starting.
Like right after the game. No. And then for me, New York, I have friends and family here.
Okay.
So it's a little different. I typically won't necessarily like go out with my teammates after a game in New York just because, you know, this is an opportunity for me to catch up with people.
So say you're in Chicago or something. Are there certain teammates you typically will go out with?
Yeah, I would say the people that most Clippers fans would assume. Like I go out with DJ and Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. Every now and then, like it's a sighting when Jamal Crawford comes out of his hotel room. So like we, after game three and against Utah, we had this Italian place. They opened late for us, and I went back to the hotel first because my wife was there. She wanted to go to bed, so I tucked her in, and then I went.
You said in Utah?
Yeah, in Utah.
Is late like 10:01 p.m.
No,
there?
This was like we rolled out of there like 1:30 in the morning. It was crazy.
All right.
I know. But anyways, we got there, and it was like DJ and Chris. Couple other guys and Jamal was there, and that's like, I mean, you don't see Jamal. Like,
is he typically in his room watching a movie, room service?
Yeah, or watching highlight videos
of himself.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
All right, so DeAndre Jordan and Blake are both big fellas.
Yeah,
are they big eaters?
They are. Yeah, yeah. You'd be surprised at how many guys have pretty sophisticated palates in terms of like searching out good restaurants and appreciating good food.
All right, well let's talk about that, cuz ESPN did a list of the favorite dining options around the NBA this past week. This is May 20th. I don't know if I would say include these on fine palate list, but I want to go down this list and then I want to compare them to if you were to do a top 10.
Okay.
And I think you might agree with some of these, but we'll see. All right, number 1, we're going to go 1 through 10. Nobu, Los Angeles, multiple locations.
Okay. So I wouldn't say multiple locations. There's really only one Nobu to me, and that's the Malibu Nobu.
Ooh. And on the deck there overlooking the ocean?
Yeah, I think Nobu is fine sushi. It's good sushi. I don't have necessarily a problem with it. It's not the best sushi in the world, but there's something that's like quintessential California about being in Malibu, eating outside. You know, the waves are literally 5 feet away from you, crashing up against the shore.
It's 72 degrees.
Typically going to see someone famous there.
Yeah.
It's just a really cool experience. So I enjoy Nobu Malibu. The other ones, I mean, they're fine. Here nor there.
All right, number 2, the Cheesecake Factory, multiple locations. You don't act like you haven't been up at the Cheesecake Factory.
5 years ago, when we were deciding like where we wanted to live, my wife and I were like, we need to have an off-season home. We ended up picking Austin, Texas.
Ooh, nice.
And we sold our house there. Now we live here. But when we were doing the rounds 5 years ago and like going to different cities during the lockout, trying to figure out where we wanted to live, her one like, you know, requisite for the city was that they had to have a Cheesecake Factory. I have no idea why. I have no idea why. Oh, there's a cheesecake? Oh, I could live here. I'm like,
Does she have a go-to order on their phone book size menu?
It's a chicken dish. It's like the breaded chicken with the cream sauce. Uh-huh. It's probably 1,200 calories. It's disgusting.
What about
the Cheesecake Factory? I'll say this. Like, if you're a young player in the NBA, if you're 19 or 20.
Yes. And you can have 2,800 calories a day.
Yeah, and your salary is a little different than like a veteran player. You haven't accumulated a ton of money and a ton of earnings. Like, the Cheesecake Factory is a nice night out. It is.
There's something for everyone.
Exactly. And if you're taking the work to, you know, if you're on the road and I got to get a good meal in, and you're taking the work, you know,
what does taking the work mean? What does that mean?
Like if you're taking a girl,
taking a girl.
Not necessarily like, you know, your girlfriend, but just like, you know, the single guys, they take the work out. That's what they do.
God, between Bure and taking the work, I'm just getting educated. All right, Philippe by Philippe Chow in New York.
I've never been.
Never been either. That's like a Mr. Chow sort of offshoot, of high-end Chinese. Prime 112 in Miami. Yeah. That's right on Ocean Drive.
I talked about Prime 112. I had a Mike Dunleavy on my podcast last July, and at the end we talked about like our four favorite sort of NBA like food spots, like maybe that were under the radar, radar or whatever. And we brought up Prime 112, and I didn't trash it, but I said I was like, yeah, I mean it's okay, you know, it's fine. So when I went,
oh no,
back in December. Miles, the owner, and the frickin' host, like they both said to me, oh man, I listened to your podcast. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And they're like, yeah, we listened to the Dunleavy one. And I was like, okay, cool. Great. I totally forgot. So I felt like a little foot in the mouth there. But no, it's fine.
It's good. No, it's good. It's fun. It's a scene. It's as South Beach as you
like,
can
if
get.
You're, again, I go back to like, if you're, you know, this is kind of what I experienced in my 7 years in Orlando. Like, if you're playing in a smaller market, or the 2 months I was in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. if you're playing in a smaller market and you go to Miami or LA or New York, like, you're not necessarily like trying to find like an eater gem or like some gem that you want to go to the scene.
Yes. That's
where you want to go.
You don't want off the beaten path.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Number five, Chipotle.
Chipotle, I mean.
Are you a Chipotle guy?
I was.
DJ is a tough critic, man.
Something happened a few years ago. Yeah. I haven't been since.
I think I read something on the internet. There's a funny shot of James Harden loading up at some backstage somewhere. This is a good one, especially if you have kids. Benihana.
Yeah, Benihana. I'm not a fan.
We're going to get one. But you've been. Yes,
so
years
when
ago?
We were in the – no, like a month ago. So my wife
– Your wife. I got to be able to get your wife on the podcast.
She's unbelievable. So we're in Utah. Like, Salt Lake City does have some good restaurants. I'm not bashing Salt Lake City.
No, it does.
They do. My brother lived there for like a year and a half. He took me to some great places. But I told her that there was a Benihana near the movie theater, and she's like, we got to go. So we ended up going. It was prom night in Salt Lake City.
Oh, my God.
So it was like an hour and a half wait. You know, we were around all these like 17-year-olds. It was a fine meal. And a week later, she decides she wants to take my son to the Benihana in Times Square. So she went twice in a week.
Oh, my God.
She loves it.
Onion Volcano. You know, I have not been to this one, Il Gabbiano in Miami.
Il Gabbiano, yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah?
It's in my top 10.
Oh, it's in your top 10?
It's in my top 10.
So there's actually one that you co-signed.
My financial advisor, he's a Goldman guy, and he is based out of Miami.
I haven't been.
And he
where
took
is it?
Me there. It's in Brickell.
Okay.
It's right near, you know where Zuma is in the Epic?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the next building over.
All right.
Yeah.
I got to get hip to that. Catch in New York and West Hollywood. Kind of, no? Oh boy. Sini, Meatpacking District.
Have you been?
I'm not really a Meatpacking District. I know the guys.
Have you eaten the food?
I know the guys who own it. They're nice guys. It's not my scene. I'm a 47-year-old dad. I'm not going out in the Meatpacking District. It's just not my jam.
We'll leave it at that, as old guys
would say.
We'll leave it at that.
I like this one. Fogo de Chao.
No. That's a definite no.
Would you go to Lowry's The Prime Rib instead on that restaurant strip there in L.A.?
No.
No.
No, I don't go there either. Wait, I don't even get this. I don't know an NBA player that has ever been to Fogo de Chao, so I don't know the accuracy of this article.
And that's one of those like Brazilian churrascaria sort of joints. Okay, yeah. Number 10. This is a very sort of everywhere, all-purpose sort of joint. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Yeah. It's the New Orleans barbecue shrimp. That's what people go for in the NBA.
Is it sizzling? Like
that's
the
what
steak?
I was. Kevin Arnovitz, who wrote the article, like that's what I was, when I gave him my list because he asked me to give some input for it. I mentioned to him, I was like, you know, Ruth's Chris would be a good choice just because, like, when you're on the road. So as much as we are, you sometimes, like NBA players, like we crave sort of routine and comfort. It's why we're athletes.
Something
and
you can
so
depend on.
Yeah, and so I think that's why you see so many chains on that list.
Yeah.
It's because, like, I know exactly what I'm getting. Yeah. I just tried a really weird place in Sacramento.
Wait, hold that.
Yeah.
Because we're going to take a break for a quick message from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, we are back, and now, JJ, we're getting your top 10 list. Your top 10 favorite restaurants in America, or are you going overseas on us?
There's a couple.
Okay, well, hit us with them.
That are overseas.
And are we in order?
You know what? I just kind of divided them up sort of into like little subsections, I'd say.
You want a job at Bon Appetit? You're editing for us, you're critiquing, this is great. You're like,
The first subsection is like the really, really like highbrow, you know, tasting menu type things.
Okay.
And we've eaten at, my wife and I, we've eaten at a lot of these. So my three favorite are French Laundry.
Up in Yountville.
Yes, in California. 11 Madison Park.
When did you go to 11 Madison?
I went once in 2013 and once in 2015.
Okay, and that was just named number one restaurant in the world in that 50 best list.
Yes. Which is a list that I reference.
Okay,
and it's not the be all and end all to me, but it's a
exactly.
good reference point, I think.
And what was your take on 11 Mad? What was your experience like?
So the first time that I ate there, it was one of the best meals I've had. Mm-hmm. We also had a bottle of 1978 Latoche.
Mm,
so
nice.
it was also one of the best wines I've ever had. But it was like one of those like perfect sort of nights.
Yeah.
You're with great people. The service there is unreal. The staff was just so friendly and welcoming.
What's nice about 11 Mad is that they are just welcoming to everybody.
Yeah. They're amazing.
If you're in the restaurant,
they're amazing.
Super nice.
They're amazing. The second time we went, the food was great and the service was great and all that. The second time we went there, it wasn't as enjoyable of an experience because it was the first night of All-Star break. We had taken a red eye from California, Chelsea and I. She had accidentally drank half a bottle of tequila with one of my teammates.
Oh, I hate when that happens by
so
accident.
So she was working on like 2 hours of sleep and I was working on like less than that. And the meal was 4.5 hours.
No, you
we walked out of there at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. It was great.
I've been there, but you got to be in shape for a meal like that.
Yeah, you do. But I think, I mean, I don't disagree with them being ranked in the top five in the world.
All right,
French Laundry for me though is like one of it might be my favorite restaurant, and I've eaten there 5 or 6 times.
Oh, wow.
It's just the whole experience to me is great. I've had better meals. Number three on my list is Osteria Francescana.
Which used to be the number one restaurant in Modena, Italy.
Yeah, and that's probably my best meal I've ever had.
Okay, so I went there about 4 years ago with my old boss at GQ. We were over in Italy for work. My issue with Osteria Francescana was the space. I wanted the.
Did you go for lunch or dinner?
I went for dinner, but I thought that I was in one of those rooms. There was like 4 tables in there, some modern art on the wall. But it wasn't like you were in this transporting space where you were, you know, where you're,
which is
oh my God.
Which is one of the cool things about French Laundry.
Yeah.
Is that you're in this old laundromat. This,
exactly. But you also drive out there. It's like a journey. Yeah. And I wish I wanted Francescana to be a bit more like, wow.
Here
this
I am.
Is amazing. I'm on the coast of whatever, you know. Yeah. All right. So those three are, yes.
And which is one of the reasons I think per se suffers a little bit. It's a little, just the ambiance is a little stale.
It's very corporate boardroom.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel like you're having dinner with the CEO of Sony or something.
So I have to throw one in there that's also in Italy. Conca del Sogno. Have you ever eaten there?
Ooh, I was there last summer on the Amalfi Coast. So, oh my God, yeah.
So again, it's this.
Well,
is,
see, again, this you're, is about you're, the you're on the coast. You're this rocks, about the these cliffs, the water splash, and they're bringing like a Branzino over. You got your glass of like Verdicchio or whatever, and like you're like, oh.
We've been there three times.
For the listener, you get there by boat.
Yeah. So you get to Conca. So we've done a boat day. All three times we went to the Amalfi Coast, we've done a boat day. And the lunch is they boat you to Conca del Sogno. And a little, 15-year-old comes up in a little
dinghy.
Motorboat you in. The first time we went was in 2010. It was a Saturday afternoon. It was about 12:30, 1 o'clock when we rolled in. We were pretty, we were inebriated at this point. I mean, it was our honeymoon.
Vacation.
And so I'm in like some, some swim trunks and Chelsea's in a bikini. And I was like, hey, I'm thinking like, we're living in Florida at the time. I'm thinking like, it's a place only reachable by boat. Everybody's probably in swimsuits.
Yeah.
So he's like, nah, you're good, man. You don't need a shirt. So I'm like, all right. So we go in.
Wait, you didn't have a shirt?
No, I didn't have a shirt. So we go in.
How much ink did you have at that point?
A substantial amount. So we go in, it's like a scene out of a movie. Like literally the record stopped. Everyone stopped talking. They all turn and they look at us. And I'm like, oh shit. They didn't even have our table ready.
Oh, so no.
Like
you're just
we're literally
there.
Standing there for like 15 minutes with my shirt off, Chelsea in the bikini. We were horrified. They ended up getting my shirt. While we were waiting, these Australians came over and they started chatting with us, and we ended up having a night with them. It was a good memory.
You can't not have a good time with Australians.
We actually are still friends with them to this
that's
day.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of there. Two other sort of comfort food Italian places: Il Gabbiano in Miami.
Okay,
it's one of my favorite meals, and then Giorgio Baldi in L.A. which is
where is that?
It's in Santa Monica. It's right near the beach. It's almost like Malibu.
Yeah.
It's a little bungalow.
Okay.
Maybe 12 to 15 tables. It's old school. I mean, it's just comfort food. I get the same thing every time. I get the fish carpaccio appetizer, the corn agnolotti with whatever truffles in season, and grilled langoustine. Chelsea gets the same thing except she gets the Dover sole.
You know what to order. The baller menu. Are you a Dan Tana's guy at all?
No, I'm not. No, I.
The food. You don't go for the food necessarily, but it's a scene.
Again, it's catch. You know. All right. So then, one more it's kind of its own section. So I love oysters, and generally speaking, if you're on the coast, East Coast, West Coast, whatever. And you can get a great oyster, you get it. I love raw oysters. I don't really put anything on it. I just like the brine and all that stuff. But there's something about wood-grilled oysters in New Orleans that I love. And my favorite are at Cochon, a Donald Link restaurant. And they have a great butcher shop next door, which sometimes I get the muffaletta from. But the wood-grilled oysters, they put a little chili butter sauce on top at Cochon. And that's sort of... So it's up there. Cushion, I go every time I'm in New Orleans.
And do you enjoy Pesh also, a seafood place?
I haven't been there.
Right now.
No, I went to Herb Saint, which is one of his other places. All right, and then a couple spots of places that I've lived. So in Orlando, there's a gastropub called The Ravenous Pig.
I was going to say, where does one go out to eat in Orlando?
The Ravenous Pig.
And what does one order at The Ravenous Pig?
The chefs are like James Beard nominated. I mean, they're great chefs. So that's a spot. I love Thai food. LA has an abundance of Thai restaurants. Night and Market is my favorite. And then because we just moved to Brooklyn, I have to put one Brooklyn restaurant in. And because it's the last great meal that I really had, and that was Olmsted.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is a newer spot, but had a great meal there over All-Star Break this year.
And now it's finally garden weather here in New York. So you can sit out back again, finally. Oh, that's a good list. I like that one. Before we get to our lightning round,
if I had an 11th, it would be Chick-fil-A, by the way.
Oh, I was going to get to that. Hold on. So we're going to get to that. It's interesting. You mentioned before fitness, and it's interesting now, NBA, certainly in the NFL, where weight sometimes can be more of an issue. Athletes have so much money at stake that it seems like they're being much more mindful of their bodies and their fitness.
For sure.
And how has your diet changed compared to 10 years ago when you were a rookie?
I think when I was a rookie, I didn't really pay any attention to my diet. And it wasn't that I ate horribly, but it was more about not putting the right stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I can remember my rookie year, I wouldn't eat a pregame meal because I didn't know how to cook. And there wasn't like a Whole Foods nearby. So I would just drive to the arena. There was a Subway open. I would get like a 6-inch meatball sub.
You literally just stopped?
At 6 o'clock.
This is in Orlando.
A 7 o'clock game. That was what I did my rookie year. Now I'm like OCD about what I eat on game days. And I do the same thing almost every game day. I mean, from breakfast to the pregame meal, it's the
okay,
same
so let's talk
thing.
That. So say, all right, let's work backwards. Tip off is what, 7:30 or so?
Tip off 7:30
in LA. Staples Center,
So I go to Shoot Around. We have a chef at Shoot Around that makes us our breakfast. So I get like this egg white scramble with brown rice, sauteed spinach, and a little bit. I have to say this because this is how I order it, but a little bit of cheese.
A little bit of cheese. Then I do
quinoa oatmeal with walnuts and blueberries, and I don't put brown sugar on it. Game days, I try to monitor my sugar intake.
So what time is that?
That's at like 9:30.
That's at before Shoot Around?
Before Shoot Around. I usually eat pasta for lunch.
Wait, hold on. Is Shoot Around literally just Shoot Around? Can you do whatever you want?
No.
It's like you walk through plays,
you go 5-on-0, sometimes at game speed, like your own plays, and then you get your own work in. So like I do all my body work before Shoot Around. So that's like all my activation stuff, core strength, and I don't lift on a game day, but it's like 15-20 minutes, and then you do all that stuff as a team, and then it's kind of like free shoot after that. So I have a routine that I do every game day. Even if there isn't Shoot Around, I'll go in and I'll do
how many threes will you take?
The routine's not that long. It's I think I make it's a specific number. I think it's like 104 makes. Again,
I haven't made that many in my entire life.
Every Sunday of the off season, when I start my basketball workouts, every Sunday I go in and I make 342 shots. I don't know why. I do that. It's just I don't know how I ended up on that number.
Okay.
And then at 4:30, I go nap, and then at 4:30 I get the same thing. I get the Whole Foods hot bar. And so beets are really good for
Is the Whole Foods hot bar at Staples Center?
No. This is like next to my house.
You just go to the grocery store.
At 4:30. Yeah.
Okay.
At 4:30. And I load up, one of those boxes with a bunch of red beets. Because they're great for blood flow. Quinoa or brown rice, one or the other. A little bit of spinach. And then I do either rotisserie chicken or sometimes they have like pulled chicken where the Mexican food is. So I'll do that.
But wait. And then, what happened to pasta? When was pasta?
Pasta was lunch.
Which is what time is that? Like
12:30.
12:30. And what kind of pasta?
It's rigatoni with bolognese sauce with no cream.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so then
it's a DoorDash order or like Postmates. What do they use in New York? Grubhub,
Uber Eats? Postmates, Seamless.
Okay,
you better learn this shit.
I know. Dude. So I use DoorDash a lot in LA. So I would DoorDash it on my way home from Shoot Around, and I get my pasta.
Well, where's the pasta coming from?
Il Fritto Mista in Hermosa Beach. The funny thing is, this is what's
shout out
funny.
To Frito Mista.
During the season, like if it's a non-game day, we cook at home.
Yeah.
But like on a game day, I don't have time to cook. I'm not going to make my wife cook. We have two kids, so like. Everything's kind of taken care of, and it's easy. Whole Foods hot bar takes 15 minutes.
So are the checkout guys at Whole Foods like, "Sup, JJ?"
Yeah. Well, my sister did. She doesn't anymore, but she worked marketing for Whole Foods, and she worked out of that store at one point.
What, do you get a discount?
No. But like, so they all know me in there.
So all right. So
good luck tonight. That sort of thing.
All right. So then.
So that's like 4:30. The game's at 7:30. Obviously, I go to the arena.
Yeah.
I get all my body work done again.
What's the commute like? How far? How long drive?
35 minutes. Okay. 35 minutes on a non-weekend. And then around like 45 on the clock, so 45 minutes to go before the game, there's a countdown. I'll have beet juice and some sort of like low sugar granola bar.
Are you conscious about staying hydrated all day?
Yes.
Just water or anything else?
I do water and then I do electrolyte supplements. I don't like sugar. I'm very sensitive to like having too much sugar in my body. It just doesn't fit well with me. And I don't want to have these sort of highs and lows during the day on a game day. So I don't drink Gatorade or anything like that. I used to do coconut water, but again, it's a lot of sugar. So now last like 4 years, I just drink water on game days and then I supplement the electrolytes.
Is there a team dietitian or is each guy expected to have his own person advising?
We have a team nutritionist, dietitian. I know she's a nutritionist. Yeah. I'm not sure if she's double certified, but, yeah, Meg's great. We do like blood work, food sensitivity tests.
So she helps sort of lay out what you should be eating.
If you're a younger player, like she'll go shopping with guys.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, she'll lay out everything. You know, and she's very, like we'll get emails before we go on a road trip. Here's what you should order for room service in this hotel, in this city.
Ooh, I want to get to that. So then you're looking pretty lean. What do you weigh now and what's the most you've weighed in your career?
In my NBA career?
Yeah.
I've been 195 my whole career.
Really?
Yeah. I've never fluctuated. Now, I'll fluctuate muscle mass if I have an injury or if, like, I'm taking some time off right now. So I'm basically just kind of doing maintenance work. I'm not really, like, training right now. It's been 3 weeks. I mean, I'll probably start next week because I'm kind of itching. But, I've been 195. Now, when I was at Duke my sophomore year, I had a diet of Bojangles biscuits. Late night quesadillas and 24 packs of Miller Lite. So I weighed about 225.
But you
225 at the end of my sophomore year.
Oh my God. And what do you weigh now?
195.
Oh my God.
My last 2 years at Duke, I played at 190. I was 35 pounds lighter than when I was at end of my sophomore year.
And for the listeners at home, JJ still graduated as the all-time ACC leading scorer, correct?
In fairness, it was really just my sophomore year that I had that diet.
And you had a much higher scoring average your senior year.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, what, 27, 26 a game?
A little under 27,
Before we almost wrap up, in terms of hotel room service, do you have favorite hotel room services on the road? Where are they?
The Nines Hotel in Portland.
Oh, yeah. What do they do well?
Their market salad is the best like room service salad there is. First of all, it's huge. Secondly, they dress it for you, which is such a frustration that I have.
When you have to toss it yourself?
The salad's never as good. They give you like an undersized bowl and an oversized salad and then like a drop of oil and vinegar. And they're like, here, just toss it yourself. And you're like, this doesn't work.
No.
So it's just a perfectly tossed salad. It's got a lot of shaved vegetables in it. Before a game on the road, I get the same thing every time. I get whatever chicken dish they have. So it could be like a whole chicken or a grilled chicken, whatever. The fancy hotels have like the whole roasted chicken, you know, and other hotels have just a grilled chicken breast. And then some sort of starch. So sometimes a baked potato or rice, and then usually a green. So broccoli, asparagus, something like that. And then I drink a lot of coffee on game days. Unfortunately, so I have
that doesn't get you jittery, your shot?
No. I started doing it when I started dating my wife, actually. I never drank coffee before I started dating her. Wow. And so since my third year, I drink a cup when I wake up from my nap, and then I'll drink, right after my pregame meal, and then I'll drink like a half a cup with like 20 minutes on the clock before the game.
Wow.
But I'm like, you know, it's coffee, you know, it does dehydrate you, but I'm so hydrated, it doesn't really matter.
And then in terms of, do you have a favorite room service breakfast in the country? Any hotels?
So that's the thing. We have every breakfast when we're on the road. We have like a spread. So we meet in a ballroom. Even if there's not a non-game day, like off day, we always have. That's the one meal we always have on the road, at least with the Clippers. So I get the same thing, though. So I get like my little egg white scramble every time. But
so there's like the little omelet station guy?
Yeah. There's an omelet station. Then there's like fresh waffles and fresh pancakes. And then there's like, you know, your buffet of like bacon, turkey bacon, whatever. And then on like a cheat day, I'll have a fresh waffle. And the best fresh waffle I've ever had on the road was at the Trump Soho.
Really?
It pains me to say that, but it's the truth.
Is there anyone who eats the weirdest breakfast on the team?
the weirdest breakfast. Oh, man. You know, it's odd, but I probably don't pay as much attention to what other guys are eating. I always end up eating breakfast with DJ, though.
Yeah.
And, like, he gets the same thing I do. So I guess, in my mind, everybody eats the same thing.
Breakfast buddies. All right. Before we let you go, we're going to do our lightning round. We're going to hit you with some either-or questions.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Rock shrimp tempura or Baja-style fish taco?
Not a fish taco guy. Rock shrimp tempura.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Do you get the rock shrimp tempura when you go to Nobu?
I do.
Yeah. You can't not get it.
You can't not get it.
Crispy fried shrimp tossed in mayonnaise.
I know.
Aisle or window? This should be like rapid fire.
I know this. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm window at heart.
Window at heart. Yeah. I'm going to throw in some Durham questions here. Foster's Market or Elmo's Diner?
Foster's.
What goes on at Foster's?
It's like a smorgasbord.
Okay. All right. Just a little of everything?
A little bit of everything. You can probably find like those organic feed bags in there too, like to go grocery shopping with.
Skinny jeans or skinny sweats?
Can I say both?
Nope. You got to pick one.
Skinny jeans.
Do you have a brand of choice?
Frame.
Frame?
Yeah.
Don't even know Frame. I need to get with Frame. In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A.
Wow, that was quick.
That's easy.
What's your go-to order?
They get the same thing. I mean, it's the original chicken sandwich. I put no sauce on it, no mayonnaise, no cheese,
no mayo.
It's two pickles and the fried chicken breast. That's all I need.
Very moist. Do you get the waffle fries? It is very moist. It's like you almost don't need.
Dude, I hate that word. I know. It's the weirdest word.
I literally would say this.
That word and munch. Moist and munch. Those are the two words that they just have weird connotations.
If you're listening at home, kids, do you get the waffle fries?
No, I don't care for the waffle. The waffle fries are okay. That's not what makes Chick-fil-A great. What makes Chick-fil-A great is the chicken sandwich.
But you're getting more than one, I assume, right? Or will you go and just get one chicken sandwich?
Occasionally, I'll just go and get one. I'll never turn down a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Our rookies, so that's the job of the rookies. On the practice, then fly out. Mm-hmm. So we start of a road trip. Their job is to have Chick-fil-A for everybody on the game or everybody on the plane. And then, you know, you give them your order at the beginning of the year and – you know, they're responsible for every flight.
So JJ have a bag. Always
JJ,
wants.
Here's what he gets. Yeah.
Do you ever get soda with that? Or are you like not a soda guy?
No. I probably haven't had soda in 5 years.
Doc or Austin? You got to answer one.
Doc.
That would be the coach of the Clippers. Yeah. Guys. Austin is his son.
He's my boss. So.
He's your boss.
I got to pick him.
Are you a better podcaster or defender?
Podcaster. not great at either, but a podcaster for sure.
Green juice or smoothie?
Smoothie.
What's your smoothie order?
Vanilla whey protein, coconut water, peanut butter, spinach, banana.
Sounds good. I like that one. Scissors or clippers? Hair clippers. Not Los Angeles Clippers.
I mean, I'm a fade guy, so I got to say clippers.
Kobe Bryant or Kobe beef? Come on. That was good. That was a good dad joke.
Kobe beef.
East Campus or West Campus?
That's a Duke reference for anyone.
Andrew Norton, our resident Southerner on staff.
All the freshmen live on East Campus. I'm going to have to say. Well, and it's also different architecture. So the classic Duke architecture is West Campus. So I'm picking West Campus.
Yeah. Andrew said, East is neoclassical with red brick and white columns. West is Gothic with rough stone. Is that an accurate portrayal?
It's a perfect. It's a perfect description.
I was on campus once years ago when I was at GQ. I did a cover story on Katie Holmes back when they used to Dawson's Creek there.
Dawson's Creek, yeah.
And I was hanging out on the campus
for a while. Freshman year, I remember them. They were still shooting.
Oh, they were still there?
Point. Yeah, okay. At that point.
What,
yeah.
Freshman year was what for you? 2002?
It was the summer of 2002.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably when I probably wrote the story that year. All right, a couple more. This is totally random. Vin Diesel or The Rock?
The Rock.
Are you a Fast Furious guy?
No.
Or do you watch Ballers?
I watched the first season. It's not for me.
It's not for you.
It's not for me. It's not for me. It reminds me, actually, you know what? I got to stick up for athletes, man.
Yeah, you do.
The TV tries to depict us as like these, you know, imbecile idiots who make just poor life decision after poor life decision.
Hanging out
on
yachts.
How are we that different from everyone else?
We don't have charter jets taking us everywhere. That's one way.
I don't get it.
NCAA championship or NBA championship?
NBA. NBA. Easy.
You got to work on that.
I know. But the ship has sailed for the NCAA.
So you still got a chance.
I still got a chance at the other
one. You have a big free agent decision to decide coming up soon, so keep that in mind. Last question. Butter or olive oil?
Butter.
All right. JJ Redick, thanks so much, man.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Emma Wertzman and Carrie Polis and edited by Mitra Kaboli. Our theme music is by Valerie and the Gradys, with additional music by Nathaniel Wertzman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.